KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Topics like political polarization and hybrid work policies can create workplace conflict. NCRC can help workplace leaders navigate divisive issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Wednesday, March 13th. San Diego's mayor talks about what's being done to address the cost of housing in the city. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. More money is on the way to families impacted by January's floods. County supervisors yesterday voted unanimously to provide additional aid for flood victims. It includes nearly $7 million to continue paying for hotel vouchers and $3 million to provide three meals a day for 60 days. More than 2,200 people have participated in the temporary lodging program, but the county says more people continue to apply every day. Supervisors also voted to continue the local emergency declaration and approved a property tax relief ordinance. A San Diego jury delivered a multi-million dollar verdict yesterday against the Coronado Unified School District. The jury said the district was negligent in hiring a coach who later admitted to having a sexual relationship with an underaged player. The parents of the 17-year-old student also claimed the district did not properly supervise the coach, Jordan Tyler Bucklew. KPBS spoke with the father of the victim.
This wasn't her fault. I mean, she was groomed, she was manipulated, she was not protected by a system that we all are supposed to trust, and that's the school.
The jury agreed and awarded the victim $5 million in damages. The Coronado School Board will meet in private session tomorrow to discuss a possible appeal. There's a slight chance of light rain this morning, but then the skies will start to clear up and we'll feel some warmer weather today. But that won't last long. The National Weather Service says there's a chance of more showers on Friday and Saturday. Today, temperatures in the inland and coastal areas are expected to be in the mid to high 60s. In the mountains, temperatures will be in the low 50s, and it'll be warmest in the deserts with temps in the high 70s. In both those areas, winds could gust up to 30 miles per hour tonight and tomorrow. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalich, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria joined Jade Heidman on KPBS Midday Edition yesterday. They discussed the city's flood response, the cost of living, homelessness, and the city's streets and roads. Here's the part of that interview that focused on housing.
San Diego is one of the most expensive cities to live in and rent in. You know, many of our listeners want to know about rent control. In November, we'll vote on a statewide ballot measure that would expand cities' ability to enact rent control. Is this something we could see in San Diego?
Well, it would require that passage of that ballot measure. And Jade, as you and your listeners probably know, that has been on the ballot multiple times and it's not been successful. I agree with you that the housing crisis is real, and so that may mean that this year will be different. I want to be clear, the city of San Diego follows state law when it comes to the rent cap that I voted for as a state legislator to prevent excessive rent increases. But even that is still not enough for many families who are being priced out of our community. And that's a major concern for me and for the city council. We have advanced aggressive pro housing policies because even with whatever controls that people might want to put in place, the fact of the matter is, Jade, we have not built enough housing for decades. When I was born here in San Diego in the late 1970s, we were building about 15,000 homes a year. Fast forward to today, in recent history, we've been doing about 5,000 homes per year. But our city continues to grow. In that period of time, we went from about 700,000 people to north of 1.4 million people. When you have that amount of population growth with that little housing growth, It's exactly why we have excessive rents, unattainable housing, home ownership, and way too many people living unsheltered. The way to change this long term is to build more housing. And Jade, one thing I'm pleased to tell you, and we'll be making an announcement soon, you know, I told you 5,000 is what we've been doing per year recently. Our preliminary numbers show that last year we permitted over 8,000 new homes, and we think it may even be more than that. And we have to report those numbers to the state. My point is this. The policies that I'm advancing are working. They are increasing the amount of housing production in our city.
This next question is from our listener, Tuan Doe from Carmel Mountain Branch. Take a listen.
I like how you're trying to increase home production with the Housing Action Package 2.0, but I feel we need to do a lot more. My question is, will you be trying to update zoning laws and building codes to allow for higher density, higher buildings, and perhaps even infilling, which is building housing on land that was used for parking lots?
The answer is we are already doing that, and we intend to do more. We're going to continue to push the envelope until we can get housing built and, again, create a more functional housing economy. Later this week, we'll be unveiling Blueprint SD, which would do some of what was just asked about, as well as community plan updates for the Hillcrest and University City parts of our city. That does envision upzoning, taking some underutilized commercial centers and making them more dense with homes that working and middle-class folks can afford. So the answer to that question is yes, but those two communities and that Blueprint plan is still not enough. We're having to, again, undo decades of underinvestment in home production. And my focus, and I want to be really clear for your listeners, the goal is to make sure that working and middle-class San Diegans can afford to live in the city.
This next question is from listener Julia Nguyen.
I'd like to know what you and the city are doing to ensure that there's more affordable housing in San Diego. By affordable, I mean accessible to lower-wage earners. Families with incomes ranging from $35,000 to $65,000 annually.
Low-income folks are also a concern. The unsheltered are also a concern. But Jade, the truth is we have had policies in place to address some of those folks for quite some time. Our city's inclusionary housing law says that for all of these projects that we're advancing, a minimum 10% of them have to be reserved for low-income San Diegans. And so as a consequence, we have hundreds or thousands of low-income units being produced, but we don't have any housing being built for middle-income San Diegans. That's why my focus is there. But that said, we are going to continue to advance policies that build housing of really all types. The low-income and extremely low-income categories are somewhat addressed through inclusionary policies. The upzoning that was asked in the previous question will also speak to that. And a program that I'm really proud of, Jane, is something that we call Bridge to Home. This is a program that I initiated as mayor where the city is a direct investor in low-income housing projects across the city. We have funded dozens of projects over the 3 years that I've been mayor, resulting in nearly 2,000 homes for low and very low-income San Diegans, including the formerly homeless.
To hear the full interview, search for the KPBS Midday Edition podcast. National City is planning to consider its own ban on homeless encampments. That's according to a top city official. South Bay reporter Corey Suzuki says the decision comes as many cities are taking a harsher stance on homelessness.
Several officials say the city council has asked staff to explore a possible encampment ban, similar to the controversial ban that San Diego passed last year. That law made it illegal for people to sleep and set up tents on the street if there was room in the city's homeless shelters. Officials say National City's move is partially because more unhoused people are being pushed into the city from San Diego. Some homelessness researchers and advocates say they're not surprised by the decision.
All cities in San Diego County, they're all at certain different levels exploring these camping bans.
Rosie Vasquez is the founder of Community Through Hope, which has been one of the South Bay's largest homelessness providers.
I do hope that each city really look to its own issue and at least try and design its own unique policies and not adopt these large-scale city policies that would virtually make it impossible for someone to lay their head somewhere at night.
It's still not clear how effective these bans are at actually reducing homelessness. And Vasquez and many other advocates say they're overly cruel to unhoused people. A ban in National City would have to be approved by the city council. Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
In other efforts to get people off the streets, the county is developing an affordable housing complex in Cholla's View. The neighborhood sits at the southeast intersection of the 94 and the 805. Reporter Katie Heisen looked into why area residents are pushing back.
137 apartments for low and extremely low-income seniors, with on-site childcare and a community garden. That's the plan for the Market Street lot that used to house Health and Human Services and now sits empty. The county's housing director, David Estrella, says the project meets a dire need.
For our seniors that are on fixed income, that are, you know, struggling to meet their daily needs, a property such as this one will provide them the kind of stability that they need.
The county has a housing crisis. A spokesperson says it's short about 120,000 homes. They plan to build at least 10,000 affordable units on government land by 2030. State law requires them to use no longer needed surplus land for affordable housing whenever possible. There's 11 such sites so far, most in the San Diego metro area, including this lot and Choice View. Area neighbors say it's a great plan for somewhere else. Here, they say it's worsening issues the civil rights movement tried to address.
The same problems that we had in 1963 is the same conversations we're having now. Poor schools, segregation, concentration of poverty.
Mary Young sits on the planning group for the area, which the state defines as a low resource. It has higher poverty and lower education, employment, and home values. Residents argue locating this development here would raise that poverty level. Young says the county's land use choices are making disparities worse.
They made these decisions to continue layering poverty on top of poverty on top of poverty and thinking that the outcome may be somehow different.
Research indicates this issue is racially skewed. Poor white families tend to live in communities with lower poverty levels overall. Poor Black and Latino families more often live in communities with higher poverty overall and face hardships that result from personal poverty colliding with community poverty. Less resourced schools, less safety, more police violence, lower quality housing. Choice View is mostly Black and Latino. Young says small decisions, like where to locate one affordable housing complex, chip away at the residents' long-term growth.
Whatever wealth that everybody is talking about that we should be building, it doesn't happen because it's chiseled away.
Years before news of this complex, the planning group published priorities for development in their neighborhoods. They said the ground level of mixed-use lots should be for things like retail, offices, grocery, and drugstores. There should be affordable home ownership opportunities, not just rentals, for middle-income households to help alleviate the community's overall poverty. They ask why the development doesn't follow these goals and say the county didn't consult with them before hiring a developer. Jacinta Hinojosa, who lives near the lot, says the affordable housing complex was news to her neighbors.
A lot of people don't know things are getting built around your community. Some people don't have the time to attend or working, or they don't have the right language.
She and her son Alonso want to see the lot used for a park. There are few green spaces in Choice View that aren't schools or cemeteries. Planning group members argue the land didn't have to be declared surplus. It could have been used for something, like a park. The affordable housing could be located somewhere with more resources. Housing Director David Estrella says he understands their concerns, but he also hears from people who need affordable housing.
We balance the needs of, you know, the region and the community in itself.
The developers plan to break ground as early as December of next year. Community members say they may also be there with picket signs. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
San Diego and National City have been selected for a state grant to help reconnect communities that were divided by freeways. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen has more.
A generation ago, the state and federal governments collaborated to build San Diego's network of freeways. The infrastructure devastated many low-income communities of color who were left with depressed property values, pollution, noise, and division. The state's Reconnecting Communities grant is meant to help heal those wounds. Janice Luna Reynoso is executive director of Mundo Gardens, a nonprofit that will help determine exactly how the funds will be spent.
I look at my granddaughter that hopefully she'll benefit benefit, and it'll be a legacy of healing, of economic justice, of vitality, of legacy of what we're going to do to leave this place better than we found it.
Caltrans has not yet said how much money the region will get in grant funds. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
This week marks the start of the annual San Diego Latino Film Festival. Films from San Diego and Tijuana will be featured. South Bay Engagement producer Maria Elena Castellanos has the story.
Official selections in this year's festival include movies filmed throughout Baja California. Two of those, Incomplete Lovers and Still With Me, explore mourning and losing loved ones. They include road trips with captivating landscapes of Baja California. There's also a documentary by cross-border filmmaker Alejandro Tamayo about the iconic Tijuana guitarist Javier Batis, who taught the legendary guitarist Carlos Santana how to play. Shelley Rowe is a filmmaker born and raised in Tijuana. At the festival, she'll show Carly, a sci-fi dystopian short film she stars in and helped write. She explained her character, Carly, and the movie's themes.
She's very creepy, but she is convinced that she's really doing this to save the world. And how many atrocities and how many decisions and how many awful things and fights and negativity are we okay with, or we're sharing, or we subscribe by because we think that we are in the right?
The San Diego Latino Film Festival runs through Sunday, March the 24th. For KPBS, I'm Maria Elena Castellanos.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again tomorrow for the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Wednesday.